Good morning, everyone. Please be seated for our announcements. We've got a few today, and I know Steve is interested in making one, and so is Julie. So they will race to the lectern to see who goes first. Looks like Steve has the lead.
Good morning, everyone. A couple of special events coming up in the month of October. On this coming Saturday, October 4th, we are presenting The Mass for All Creatures, a composition by London's own Oliver Whitehead, and feature the choirs of St. James Westminster and London Pro Musica. It's a powerful and beautiful work celebrating creation and examining our relationship to it and the environment. So that's by donation on Saturday at 7:30 here at the church. Also, tickets are available for the Dinner Cabaret, which is the weekend of October 17th and 18th, Friday and Saturday night. We have different programs each of the nights. Judy will be having tickets in the hall after the service, or you can call Rebecca through the week or see me sometime. But Judy will have them in the hall after the service today. So, thank you.
Thank you. Also on Saturday, if you have a four-legged friend, the churches in Old South, the Anglicans, the United, the Lutheran, are all getting together from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock on the green to do a service of pet blessing in honor of St. Francis. So if you have an animal, drop by sometime between 11 and 12 and we'll happily bless our four-legged friends. And it's a great sign of different churches working together in unity, even in the midst of everything going on in the world.
Good morning, everyone. This is my new friend and Pat's new best friend. She's been watching a lot of football with him. So, coming up on October 25th is Halloween in the Village. And for the first time, St. James is going to participate. We are going to hold a scarecrow making workshop here and invite the community in to make a scarecrow like that. So we'll provide the frame and the head and the stuffing, and we'll ask everybody who comes to bring the clothes. So I'm hoping for a couple of things. I'm hoping that you might consider volunteering that day. We'll need a bunch of volunteers to help people and greet people and stuff like that. Also, we're going to make the frames on the 19th, so I'll need some people to come with some tools and we'll put the sticks together. And then I'm looking for some sewers to sew the heads, so we'll have a bunch of heads available for people to decorate. So that's one way you can help. The other way you can help is by donating materials. We're looking for some scrap wood, so real light, thin wood. Tall tree stakes would be great. Any just scrap thin wood that we can put together. We're looking for light colored fabric that we can sew into the heads, yarn and raffia for the hair, maybe some craft paint to paint the faces, twine, floral wire to put it all together, hats, boots, wigs, funny stuff that people can use to decorate. And then maybe a bit of clothing, not a lot. Again, we're asking people to bring their own clothes to decorate, but some people might forget. So, and of course, if you want to come and make one for your yard, there's a way to sign up at the Halloween in the Village website. So all the information you need will be here, and you would have gotten an email about it yesterday as well. So I hope you can join me. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. It is wonderful to hear of all the things that are happening in the village and in the parish life. But at the heart of everything we do is worship. And so let's take a moment to enter into the presence of God, to lift our hearts, to raise our voices, and to be still and know that God is here. Would the congregation please stand? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And we say together, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us pray. Creator God, from you every family in heaven and earth takes its name. You have rooted and grounded us in your covenant love and empowered us by your Spirit to speak the truth in love and to walk in your way towards justice and wholeness. Mercifully grant that your people journeying together in partnership may be strengthened and guided to help one another to grow into the full state of Christ, who is our light and our life. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation from Holy Scripture.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. There is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, person of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. Those who are blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal domination. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
They shall say to the Lord, you are our refuge and our stronghold, our God in whom we put our trust.
The Lord shall deliver you from the snare of the hunter and from the deadly pestilence.
The wings of the Lord shall cover you, and you shall find refuge under them. The faithfulness of God shall be a shield and buckler.
You shall not be afraid of any terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day,
of the plague that stalks in the darkness, nor of the sickness that lays waste at midday.
For the angels of God shall have charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
Because they are bound to me in love, therefore will I deliver them. I will protect them because they
shall call upon me, and I will answer them. I am with them in trouble. I will rescue them and bring them to honor.
With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation.
You.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony with these flames.' Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I've got to stop saying that these are hard readings to figure out how to preach on, because I feel like I've said that for every sermon for the last 2 or 3 months. Luke is great. We come to a service today that I really, really want to get right. The National Day for Truth and Reconciliation takes place this week, and the church has been working hard to figure out how we can embody that, how we can live that out in a way that's authentic. And I want to get that right, but I have to admit, it's hard to figure out exactly what to do. From a surface level, wearing orange shirts is a fantastic way of recognizing and celebrating and honoring the stories of First Nations people. And I've heard stories from our own congregation of people wearing their orange shirts to the grocery store and being approached by some that say, "Thank you. That symbol means something to us. It is a good thing to do." But I've also heard stories of those who get offended by seeing a bunch of people in orange shirts and never seeing any sort of connection or reconciliation come from that. There's a fear that if we just put on the orange shirt and that's all that we do, we're assuaging our own guilt. I've heard for years and years that we shouldn't have flags in the sanctuary anymore to recognize the nationalistic tendencies. And so there are no flags that used to be hanging above the arches up here. They've moved off to the side. And our primate has just put out a letter encouraging churches to get an orange flag and hang it in the sanctuary. It's hard to reconcile what the right thing to do is. Truth and Reconciliation Day, Orange Shirt Day, is still fairly new, and we're trying to figure it out. And the desire to get it right strikes close to home. And it strikes close to home for me especially because it's very close to one of my biggest failures in ministry, a wound that I carry. About 6 years ago, seven now actually, I was the priest designated by the bishop to be the team leader of amalgamating five parishes into one. There were six clergy at these five parishes, and it was decided because I had an undergraduate degree in conflict resolution, I had the most time in ministry, that I should be the team leader. I was the only male, and I was the youngest. And so, the patriarchy lives. Or at least that's what it appeared from the outside. In that team, there were two deacons who did not get along. There was a Lutheran pastor serving an Anglican church who mentioned to members of congregations, "Oh, you're not actually Anglican. You should go to the Lutheran church because that's what they believe over there." There was a very evangelical Anglican who proceeded to tell one of the wardens that they had a demonic spirit for asking questions and getting in the way of amalgamation talks. As team leader, it was my job to have conversations with each one of them, to say, is this an appropriate thing? Should you be doing this? Is there a different way we could approach this difficult and complex situation? And I thought I did my best. I thought my undergraduate degree would help me get through and navigate these troubled waters. But sure enough, I found myself in the bishop's office, having to account for my privilege, the patriarchy, and even the fact that one of the members of the team was Asian. It was clear that I was being racist. I was broken. I had done my best, but the assumption that people had made from my actions, from going in and saying, this wasn't okay, we need to do better, they had it figured out. They knew that the patriarchy lived, and that's why Michael was the way he was. Days like today scare me, because I don't want to get it wrong. I want to honor the differences amongst us. I want to highlight the fact that God created each and every one of us in a unique and special way that reveals something about God, and that we all have things to teach each other. I want to honor that in an authentic way, in a way that calls us to action, a way that inspires us to connect with one another more deeply than we ever have before, because in those connections, we see God. But to do that, we need to hold true to the things that make us, us. The Christian gospel and reconciliation is not some tacked-on thing that we can only deal with once in a while. Reconciliation is at the heart of why Jesus came to earth and taught us the things he taught us. Reconciliation is buried deep within those readings that we heard today. And I think it comes at that moment when the rich man says to Lazarus and Abraham, "Send someone so my brothers will know what's going on." The reason I think that is because it stems from one of the very first things we have to do in order to work with reconciliation. And that's reconciliation between ourselves, our neighbors, our friends, our families, and God. It's that we can't read each other's minds. We can't read each other's minds. I was called into the bishop's office to account for my actions because people made assumptions about why I was doing what I did. I make assumptions about hanging an orange flag in the sanctuary or wearing an orange shirt or not wearing an orange shirt. We all make assumptions of each other. True reconciliation, true connection, true community, and true relationship comes when we stop assuming people do things for the same reason that I would do something. True connection comes when we allow others to speak for themselves and when we have the courage to speak for ourselves. Orange Shirt Day is an important day to get right. But we get it right by trying, by being open to the fact and the possibility that reconciliation takes work. Not only does it take work, but it takes vulnerability. It takes us risking seeing ourselves through someone else's eyes. I am really happy in my echo chamber of social media where I talk about nerdy church music and the right way to wear vestments. I'm really happy there. But when I step out and I hear somebody say, "Does that really matter?" and I'm forced to admit, "No, it probably doesn't. Jesus will show up here whether I've crossed my stole or not." It makes me wonder. That's the challenge for each of us today. To stop assuming that we can read other people's minds and to wonder what a relationship could look like. Some will be easy, some will be challenging, but in all of them, we have room to learn and grow. And as we learn and grow, we grow closer to God who created all. That's really the goal. If we want to be reconciled with God, we need to be reconciled with our neighbor. Our American neighbor, our Canadian neighbor, our Albertan neighbor, our neighbor from the north part of London that we never go to. We need to be reconciled with one another. And in that, we find God's love present in places that we least expect it. Whether you're wearing an orange shirt today or not, the invitation to us is to let down our guards, to open ourselves, to be vulnerable, and maybe, maybe form new relationships that are the seed that causes us to grow in new, powerful, and beautiful directions. And so let's do our best to get this day right. And let's not be afraid of trying. Because we can't control what other people assume about us. All we can do is try to live out what Paul called us to: holiness, love, and valuing that which matters, not power or wealth. In this, I know we can find joy. We can find meaning. We can find purpose. Amen. Having heard God speak to us through the words of Scripture, wrestling with what they might mean for us today in our very specific context, we now come to a point in our service where we're invited to affirm our faith. And so I'd invite the congregation to stand. And let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Blessed Lord, from the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise you and you alone. Keep your church in this single-minded devotion. Sustain us with your presence. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Blessed Lord, hear our prayers for those in high position, that the dignity of all may be upheld and honored. Guide all nations in the ways of peace and justice. Deliver your people being persecuted around the world, Africa, Middle East, Asia. Save them in your mercy. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Blessed Lord, turn our hearts from the love of wealth and obsession with the false security of wealth. Set us free to trust in your bounty and to be satisfied with what we have. Fix our hearts where true and lasting treasures may be found. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Blessed Lord, in your love and mercy, save us from the anger and bitterness that destroys the soul. Quieten the raging hearts of those in distress and bring peace to troubled minds. Lift us from dust and ashes to hope in you. We think today and pray especially for Gavin, Terry, Bob, Rick, Arnold, and Marilyn, Don and Nancy, Catherine, Solomon, Kathy, Sherry, Brian, Dorothea, Charles and family, the King family, Scott, Cheryl, Matthew, Margaret, and Martin. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Blessed Lord, you desire the salvation of all people. We commend to you all who have died. Bring us to rejoice in your courts with thanksgiving. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. He said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Creator, you bless us with many good gifts returned to you from your creation. Feed us with the bread of life, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We thank and praise you, Almighty Father. In wisdom, you guide the course of the world and cherish us with tender care. We thank you that we can come together around this table in the name of Jesus, your Son, the firstborn of creation. In him, all things visible and invisible were created and hold together. We thank you that you have sent your Holy Spirit to make us a new community of faith, to serve you within your creation. And now, we give you thanks, because in love you created us, and in justice you condemned us, but in mercy you redeem us. And so, with the wonders of creation, and the songs of praise of all your creatures, both in heaven and on earth, we join in one great act of awe and adoration. God of all creation, send your Spirit upon the goodness of the earth and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that in them we may recognize and receive the fullness of the risen Christ. Bread broken and wine poured, body given and blood shed. On the night before he offered himself, Jesus recalled with his disciples the wonder of your creation and the covenant you made with your chosen people. Then he took bread and gave you thanks, blessed it and broke it, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In the same way, he took the cup, and giving you thanks and praise, he gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." So we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. As we remember the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate the goodness of the earth, our companionship in this world, and the sharing of all skills and arts that enrich our lives. We share the cup of our humanity, matured over the unnumbered centuries of the struggle that has gone into making this world. Our living and dying, fears and hopes, futility and fidelity. Together with those who have drawn sustenance from this soil, those with whom we share it, and those to whom we pass it on, we share this bread and raise this cup in fulfillment of the Lord's command. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. The gifts of God for the people of God.
To shine like the sun.
Let us stand and continue in prayer. Great Creator, you have fed us with bread from heaven. Continue to renew us in your truth, to give light to our minds, strength to our bodies, and seal us with your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Glory to God. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those you love and those you struggle with, now and always. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.